This afternoon, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we get the instructions from the apostle as to how we conduct the Lord's Supper or communion. And so I want you to turn there with me, and I want to share some thoughts from one verse in particular. But let's just take a moment. Will you just follow in your Bible as I read some verses here? I'm beginning in verse 17. You look as I read. Now, in this chapter 11, 1 Corinthians 11, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. One's hungry, another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? And shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Now the verse that I really want you to key in on with me is verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's pray. We thank you for this passage of Scripture, for the instruction that's in it, for the truth that you have for us right now. And we ask that you might speak it into the depths of our heart, and that we might take it as from you, as it is, and that it might be heart-changing, life-transforming. And Lord, we thank you when we reflect, as we are doing now, on what you suffered on our behalf, so that we might have forgiveness of sin, so that you might be our life eternal. We are just amazed and overwhelmed by it all, and pause to give you thanks and want to exalt your name now as we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. In that 26th verse, I want you to focus in on really just one word at this point, and it's the word show. The word show. See it there? It is a word that literally means to report down. It's made up of a prefix that gives the word intensiveness, emphasis. But the main root of that word show is a word that means message. And so that word show, show the Lord's death till he comes. That word show means that when we partake of communion, the Lord's Supper, we proclaim an emphatic message. In fact, that word is only translated show 3 times in the entire New Testament. 10 times, that same word that's translated show is translated with the word preach. Now look at it that way. as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup. In other words, as often as you observe the Lord's Supper together, you preach. You're all preachers. You preach the Lord's death. You preach a gospel message. Because the Lord's death is basic to the gospel. It's the very foundation of the gospel. We are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the gospel is this, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And so the very foundation of the gospel message is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. And when you as a believer and I together sit at the Lord's table and partake of the bread and the cup, we preach a gospel message. We preach the Lord's death, as the Scripture says. And it is also, the word preach is a verb that is in a present tense. And whenever it's a present tense, it means it is a continuing action. So every time we observe the Lord's Supper, you preach a solid, hard-hitting gospel message. Each time you do the Lord's Supper, you preach a gospel message. But what exactly is that message? Well, that's what I want to think about just for a few minutes before we actually do observe at the Lord's table once again. I think, first of all, you preach faith in Jesus. You preach faith in Jesus. You see, when we observe communion, we are not simply talking about the fact that Jesus died, the fact of Jesus' death. But we are declaring, we're preaching that I, as an individual, have personally placed my faith in the Lord Jesus' death on my behalf. Let me put it this way. The Bible says that God so loved the world, as we said this morning. The Bible says that Jesus' death was for the sins of the whole world. But what every single person does when they observe the Lord's Supper as a believer is that they preach the fact that I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that He took my punishment. I believe that He stood in my place on that cross. I believe that He suffered the death that I should have died because I'm the sinner. So you preach faith in Jesus, your personal faith in Jesus who died for you. You know, at Passover, every year the Jewish people retell the story of the Exodus, how God brought them out of bondage, out of slavery in Egypt. As they tell that story, they, of course, are bringing emphasis of God's power to deliver them out of such bondage. Well, you know, at least some of you may know, that the Lord's Supper comes right out of the celebration of Passover. It was the celebration of the Passover with the 12, with the disciples, the last time that Jesus did it, in which He said what we've just read in verse 24 and 25, that when He had given thanks, He broke the bread, and after the same manner, He took the cup. It was at Passover that He did that. And so, this whole idea of the Jewish people having an exodus, a deliverance out of bondage, is given complete spiritual significance as it applies to us as believers. If you have been saved, you preach the fact that you have faith in Jesus' death for you. You preach that Jesus' death for you was your exodus from the bondage of sin and from the penalty of sin. And that's the very basis of your life. Just as the Exodus is really the very basis of Jewish life, the Lord's death is the basis of our spiritual life. It breaks the bonds of spiritual slavery in a person's life. So every time you observe the Lord's Supper and we together, we preach. We preach faith, personal faith in Jesus. But also, whenever we observe the Lord's Supper, we preach not only faith in Jesus, but we preach a message of fellowship with Jesus. Someone said to me during lunch, "You know, you talked about worship this morning. Well, isn't the Lord's Supper worship?" It absolutely is. Absolutely true. And so when we observe the Lord's Supper, it's an act of worship in which you, in a very real way, share fellowship with the Lord. The Bible says this. The Bible says that every human being, naturally speaking, is out of fellowship with God. And the thing that knocks us out of fellowship with God is our sin. And that's why you have to be justified in God's eyes on one and only one basis, by faith. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Implication, if you're not justified by faith, you don't have peace with God. You're at war with God and God's at war with you. The Bible also says, it's the blood of Jesus Christ, that blood that He shed on that cross. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses a person from all sin. And so when we sit around the table of the Lord and observe the Lord's Supper, we're preaching. But we're preaching a message of fellowship with Christ. That we have fellowship with the Lord based upon His shed blood that sweeps away that which would separate us from fellowship with Him, our sin. And so we preach fellowship with Christ. Not only that, back in the 10th chapter, just one chapter back here, and in verses 15 through 17, Paul says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for ye are all partakers of that one bread." And of course, he's giving spiritual meaning to the bread and the cup. That bread represents the body of Christ that was broken. That cup represents the shed blood of Christ that is the means by which our sin is washed away. And it brings us not only into fellowship with the Lord, but it brings us into fellowship with one another. Let me tell you something. When we partake together of the Lord's Supper, we're not just preaching fellowship with Jesus, obviously, yes, but we're preaching fellowship with each other. You can't honestly partake of the Lord's Supper and be out of fellowship with another brother or sister sitting at the same table with you. Have you ever tried to eat a meal within your family, in your physical family, and you're at odds with someone at the table? It's not a pleasant time. It's not fun. You feel like taking your plate and going to your room rather than sitting at the table, right? This communion, this partaking of the Lord's table, you preach. You preach faith in Jesus, but you also preach fellowship with Jesus and with Jesus' people. And listen to the oneness that we have. It says in Galatians 3:28, as many as of you as have been put into Christ have put on Christ, and there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. There's a oneness. There's a complete fellowship. And when we partake of the Lord's table, we preach fellowship that we have together with Christ and in Christ. There's one more thing that I want to say before we end our thoughts here this afternoon. Look again at verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11. He says, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. Yes, you preach faith in Jesus who died for you. Yes, you preach fellowship with Christ through His death. But also, it says, you preach until He comes. You show the Lord's death. You preach a gospel message every time till He come. So, you preach, but you also preach a future with Christ. A future with Christ. Because guess what? He's coming. He's coming back. He's coming again. And there's going to be one big feast when He comes back for us. But when you take the Lord's Supper, as many of you will in just a few minutes from now, you preach. You preach that you have a future with Jesus. That you don't merely have a relationship with Him now, but you have a relationship with Him forever. You preach His death till He come back for you. You see, the Bible pictures every believer in Jesus as the bride of Christ. And He is the bridegroom. And one of the things that He told His disciples before His death in that upper room where He had this last Passover with them, He said, I'm going to go away. But don't worry, I'm going to come back again. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. Because I am God, Jesus was saying. And then He said, in My Father's house, there are many mansions, many dwelling places. And He said, if it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going, but I'm going to prepare a place for each one of you. And when I return, I will come to take you to be with Me. I will take you unto Myself, that where I am in My Father's house, where I'm going, you may be also. He promised that. This same Paul, the apostle, that gives us this information in 1 Corinthians 11, said in 1 Thessalonians 4, he said, you know what? There's coming a day when Jesus is going to appear in the clouds. Does that sound like sci-fi to you? That's reality. Because that's not some made-up story. That's the promise of the very God that brought this universe and made it out of nothing. You think it's a big deal for Him to raise the dead? You think it's a big deal for Him to appear in the clouds? He's coming back. He's going to appear in the clouds. And the Bible says, Paul says in that passage, that there's going to be a trumpet blown, an angelic trumpet blast. There's going to be the voice of the archangel. Who's the archangel? Michael is going to shout. There's going to be the shout of the archangel. And the trumpet of God will be blown. and it says this is all going to happen simultaneously, instantaneously, all at the same moment, in an immeasurable moment of time. He said that the believers that have died will be raised from the dead. Again, you may not be able to get your puny mind around that. It's above human ability to imagine that. But that doesn't make it untrue. This is the God of the universe that has promised this. This is not some fairy tale. This is reality. This is what God said. And it doesn't matter in one sense whether you believe it or not, it's still going to happen. In another sense, it does matter because it has to do with your eternal destiny. So the dead in Christ are going to rise first, but then he said, and then they which are alive when Jesus appears in the cloud, those that are alive at that moment, they are going to be, their bodies are going to be instantaneously changed, just like the dead that are brought in a resurrection body up from the grave. The believers that are alive at that moment will have their bodies completely changed and glorified. And it says that we will be caught up together with the dead in Christ that rose just before us, and we'll meet them together in the clouds. We'll meet together in the clouds with the Lord. Amazing truth. It's called the blessed hope. You have hope? Hope in the Bible is not something that may happen. It's something that's established that will happen that you are looking forward to. And the blessed hope of the believer is that there is a wonderful regathering resurrection day that is coming when Jesus will return. He'll appear in the clouds. We'll be caught up and raised to meet with Him in the clouds. And He will take us into His Father's house, what we call heaven, and we shall be forever, it says, with the Lord. And that ought to comfort your hearts. It's the blessed hope of the believer. And when you partake of the Lord's table, I don't know if you realize this, but you're preaching. You preach. You preach faith in Jesus. That is His death for you. That sets you free from sin's penalty and even the bondage of it. You preach a message. You preach fellowship with Jesus as well as with His family, His spiritual family, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you preach a message of a future with Jesus that will never end, that is forever. It's the hope of every devout Jewish person that celebrates Passover to at least once in their lives celebrate Passover in Jerusalem. Especially the last one. So the Jewish custom is at the end of the Seder, every participant around the table, at the Passover table, they will raise their cup and they will say together, next year in Jerusalem. That's the hope of every Jewish person that celebrates Passover. The cup of the Lord came out of that cup of Passover. The cup that we're going to partake of came out of that Passover celebration. And it serves to remind us in three ways. We look back to the shed blood of Christ. We look around to fellowship with the living Christ. And we look forward to the Lord's return. In other words, for all believers, there will be a last sharing of that bread and cup on this side of eternity. May this be the last one. Perhaps it will. We have no way of knowing. But one time, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper together here on this earth for the last time. And when we meet once again, we'll be in the Lord's presence in heaven. So, will you remind me at the close of our observance of the Lord's Supper in a few minutes? Will you remind me that we should raise our cups and say, next year in heaven? It's a very real possibility.
It's a living reality.
Or next year with Christ.
In His presence.
So, are you ready to join together with me? And let's preach it. Let's preach it. Let's preach the Lord's death till He comes.